Listen internally to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If he's saying, check in on that child, don't let that child be that kid's friend. Don't let that child go to that place. Don't let that child whatever, or let that child do this. Let that child do that. Don't restrain them there. As you are listening to the helper help you, he also wants to help them through your leadership. You listen internally rather than watching externally, because a lot of times when you watch externally, it's too late.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Guys, it's your girl, Autumn Miles. Welcome back to another episode of the Autumn Miles Show. Happy Mother's Day to you. This is our week, moms. This is the Christmas, the New Year's, the 4th of July. Those are all my favorite holidays of mothers. And I want to honor you guys today. I want you to say it is hard to be a mom. It is so hard to be a mom. And I understand that because I mom it over here 24/7. You know, we don't get a time off. We don't get to clock out. We don't get a break. We don't get any of those things. Okay. We are on 100% of the time. In the middle of the night last night, I heard someone in the kitchen. It was 3:41 in the morning. I walked in. My son didn't feel well. You know, you mom 24/7. So I had to take care of him and then I went back to bed. So I want you to know, happy Mother's Day from my entire team. We have an extensive team. The production team is listening right now. We have our social media. We have all sorts of people that I am speaking on behalf of. And I want to let you know how much we love you, how much we value you. And I want you to like sit in appreciation this week of us to you. Thank you for everything that you do. You know, especially when you have when you're a mom of young kids, there's not a lot of thank you moms, you know, because they can't talk when they're a certain age. But from me to you, thank you. Thank you for changing those diapers. Thank you for those bottles. Thank you for, cleaning up the house 17 times a day. Thank you for messing up your kitchen and cleaning it up and feeding and the dinner. You know, dinner comes every single night. That's one thing when I was a mom, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to eat again. We're eating all these meals. But let me tell you, we honor you today and we thank you for what you do. This is going to be an amazing show that is dedicated to Mother's Day. And I have an incredibly special guest on my show today. You will hear her after the, I'm going to say a few words because you know your girl's got to say a few words. Okay. After the break, I'm going to preach a little bit on spirit-led parenting. And then we're going to bring my mom on the show today. And she's going to tell you all the tips, all the things about being a mom. And I also wanted to talk to her today about being a grandma because, you know, I have four kids that my kids are not her only grandkids. My brother has three kids. So she's a grandma to seven and she is an excellent grandma. They love their grandma. And so I want to talk to her about that as well. But we're going to go all in. You know how much I really value spirit-led parenting. It is something that we need to do more of in the church. And I'm introducing this concept to you guys. I've talked about it in the past, but I'm really going to get into the nitty gritty and the verses where this concept comes from in my home, in my life, in my motherhood, in my parenting. And we'll get to that after the break. So happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. We love you so much. What is happening in my life? Okay. There is so much happening in my life. It was so hard to even come up with something to talk about. My kids are everywhere. We have so many plans this particular month because Grace is graduating in a couple of weeks. My kid is graduating. I mean, you guys have been with me through driver's ed. You've been with me through, you know, dates, proms, homecomings, plays. And this kid, we're about to launch her. So there's a lot going on in my life. But I just have to say, last night, because of prayer, Jesus, grace, mercy, favor, provision, all the things, I turned in my last research paper for my MDiv, which I just started this semester. I turned it in, you guys. It was extremely hard. As you guys know, I'm a woman of many words. It was super hard. My professor said, now this doesn't sound hard, but it actually is hard. I don't know, it might sound hard to you. I don't know, but I had about 150 pages that I had to read and I had to study and I had to present a critical argument. Was Joanna, who's talked about in Luke, and she's talked about in Luke twice, but she's also talked about potentially in Romans, Paul mentions her. Was she a disciple? Not the 12. Don't go crazy. I don't need your emails. Okay. I know who the 12 were. She wasn't the 12, but was she a close disciple of Jesus? And was she also considered an apostle by Paul? And, you know, it's controversial. It was especially controversial in the patristic period. But I was able to write a critical essay on that and bring a lot of my research findings in on was she or was she not a disciple and an apostle? And she was a woman. Maybe I should send that out on my mailing list for you guys to read my findings yourself. But he said, this is what I want you to do, Autumn. You have to write 1,500 words and that's it. And let me tell you, 1,500 words. He told me, he told our whole class. He wasn't just talking to me. This is going to challenge you because I could talk about this stuff for years. He said, if you get over 1,600 words, I will count you off. At like 1,500 words, I had so much more to say. So then I had to edit everything down. And he was like, focus on the majors, not the minors. He's like the nicest professor ever, but he was really strict on that. So I turned it in. Last night, I focused on the major points, not the minor points. And I love all the minor points. Y'all know that with all the tenses in the Hebrew and the Greek and all that kind of stuff. And I got an A, guys. I got an A on the paper. He asked me to present it to the class. So I was like, I felt so smart last night. It might be the smartest time that I have ever felt in my life. I mean, I was feeling good. I was feeling really good about it. So I am complete. I got A's in both classes and I really don't know how that happened. That truly is the grace of God. So that is what's happening in my world. Listen, you can do it. I am 43. I am not 23 over here. I've got 4 kids. I've got 4 full-time jobs. I've got a husband, a volunteer at my church. I do all the things. If you want to do something, God will make, you have to make space for it and God will redeem the time for you to do it. So if you want to go back to school, if you want to do whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, rely on Him for the provision of the redemption of your time, jump into it and those waters will part when your feet are in the water, just like the Jordan. I had to tell you that. We have to celebrate, right? We're a family. We're the AM fam over here. We have to celebrate. That's what's happening in my life. Lot going on. Okay. I have lots to share with you today, so I want to go to break. But before I do, I am going to be going on a little break this summer, not from you, because brand new shows will air every single week. But I want to let you know, we are going to utilize the 6-week wilderness series that I did 2 years ago. We're going to re-air it. It will sound brand new to you because I'm going to record a bunch of new content around the shows. But if you missed that series a couple of years ago, it was one of the most highly downloaded series that we have ever done. And it was really, really powerful. And so we wanted to, you know, sometimes I do things and I'm like, that's really good. This is going to be relevant for years to come. This is one of those series, okay? That is coming up at the end of May. We're going to start that into June. You do not want to miss this. This is something that you need to plan for. Make sure you are subscribed to our podcast so that you do not miss this series. I mean, I dug deep in the wilderness with the Israelites and the Egyptians and Moses and all the things. And If you are in a wilderness season, if you're coming out of a wilderness season, if you're going in, you feel like you're going into a wilderness season, this is for you. It will greatly encourage you. And it's a great podcast to listen to if you're sitting by the pool or something like that. So that is coming up. I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show, but I wanted to mention it here. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about spirit-led parenting and we're going to hear from my mom right here. When we come back, don't go away. I'll see you in a sec.
Yeah. Holy flow. Yeah. Holy flow. God took all my punishment, said I don't need a O.
Yeah, I don't need a O.
All the sinning, get behind me, cause you know that you gotta go.
Gotta go.
If it's dark versus light, score gonna be 20, yo.
Yeah, 20, yo.
With my pin on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
Hey guys, it's Autumn, and I wanna know, family, what is God doing in your life? If you have a recent praise report about God's faithfulness, we all want to know about it. I want to know, my team wants to know, and your brothers and sisters in Christ that listen to this show want to know. You can share your story by emailing hello@autumnmiles.com, or you can direct message me on Facebook or Instagram by searching Autumn Miles at the top of the page. I want to hear about it, guys. Let's tell the world what God is doing in your life so we all can be encouraged by your journey of faith.
With my pin on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
Okay, guys, I am so excited to get to that. Just a conversation with my mom. She is like a jewel. You guys are going to absolutely love her. But before we do that, I want to set up our conversation and I want to talk about this concept that the Lord introduced to me years ago called spirit-led parenting. Okay. I have lots of scriptures for you to jot down, but this is my parenting style. This is how we have walked our 18-year-old, 15-year-old, and 2 9-year-olds from birth until now. And there is no better way, in my opinion, to parent than listen to God influence you and the moves that you make with your children. And this is a lot easier said than done. I understand that there are so many parenting books out there. There are so many methods out there. There are so many ways to parent out there. And I'm sure that there is good in all of those. They're definitely well-meaning. But to me, making the Spirit of the living God, God Himself, God the Father, Jesus, the priority in our home, there will never be another better parenting method. And I will tell you why. Spirit-led parenting is what I want to talk you through today. This is something that you can pick up even if your kids are adults, and you can start doing it today, right now. This is something if they are babies, if they are not even speaking yet, you can do this right now. And it is simply living by the leadership, the fatherhood, the parenthood of the Lord in you, guiding you as you parent your children. Now, I'm going to go to a couple of passages of scripture because I want to tell you two of the best examples that we have about spirit-led parenting are Joseph and Mary. Like, shocking that they would be our examples. But I want to show you practically what I'm telling you, okay? I want to go, and we're going to talk about Joseph. I understand it's Mother's Day, okay? But I have to bring Joseph in because I think that Joseph was incredible spirit-led parent in Jesus's life. Okay, here we go. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. I want to read this to you, and I'm going to talk a little bit faster because we're going to have a great interview here after this with my mom. Matthew 1, 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit conceived this child in Mary. already starting off with parenting by God the Father. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now listen, his plan was to send her away secretly. His plan, human plan, human's plan often differs from God's plan, because we walk by sight and not by faith. When the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit parenting is introduced into your parenthood, you begin walking by faith and not by sight. Joseph in this moment was looking at the situation and saying, I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to put her away privately. I don't want to embarrass her. That's a human plan. And then God interjected. But verse 20, Matthew 1:20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, the angel was, now the Holy Spirit didn't come until Acts. He was around, but he was not given to every believer. The Pentecost didn't happen until Acts. But listen here. The angel was a messenger of God bringing parenting advice to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, listen to me. Joseph had no idea what was happening up until this point. The messenger of God through an angel came and gave him parenting advice and intel on what kind of a child Mary was carrying. He had no idea. All he knew is that his woman was pregnant. That is no bueno back in Bible day. Listen, but a messenger of God said, don't worry, don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. She's going to bear a son. And this is the kind of kid this kid's going to be. He's going to save people from their sins. Already, God the Father was parenting Jesus through Joseph. 22. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. 24. And Joseph awoke from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. What is so amazing about Joseph is that when he got a message from God, he immediately obeyed the message and what it said. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, verse 25, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We see Spirit-led parenting in Joseph. Let's move on to another passage where he does this. This is Matthew 2:10-15. The wise men were there to visit Jesus. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Verse 11, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worship him. This is the wise men seeing Jesus. Then, opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is not a Christmas message. This is a parenting by the Spirit message. Verse 12, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another. Verse 13, now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Verse 14. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. 15. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. The Lord appeared to Joseph again, and Joseph listened again. For time's sake, I want to go to Mary. You guys know the story of Mary when the Holy Spirit came upon her and she got pregnant. I want to pick it up. Luke 1:34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age." Verse 37. 137, "For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bond servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." I believe Mary and Joseph, not a Christmas message, were chosen to parent Jesus because they were sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit of God, the Father himself. When you look at Joseph in these verses, we see him immediately listening, which saved Jesus's life. It saved his life a couple of times. Get up, go. I see something you don't, Joseph. Get up, go. I see something that you need to be aware of. Move. Mary, Mary. She's who I've chosen. Okay. 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 They were righteous and they were yielded and they were leaned in to what the Spirit of God said. And because of that, Jesus had and was protected by his earthly parents because they listened to the Spirit of God. Okay. This concept of Holy Spirit-led parenting has saved my kids' lives. It saved them from trouble. It's kept favor on their life. It has done so many different things. It's protected them because we are leaned into what the Spirit of God says. I want to read for you John 14:16 here. Jesus is speaking. "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I and my Father and you in me and I in you." I want to move on to verse 26. "But the Helper," or the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now, we have a good example in Joseph and Mary as being led by the Spirit as parents and as listening, and it literally saved Jesus's life. Now, we don't have a large chunk of Jesus's life up until he started his public ministry. But how they started, I'm sure, is how they continued. And one of the benefits of being a believer, a Spirit-filled believer, is utilizing the Holy Spirit of the living God to speak truth in us about our kids. I do this literally every single day. Jesus calls him the Helper. You need help with your child that is acting up or won't listen. What is the Helper trying to tell you to help that situation? You need help with your child. Who is the Helper guiding you to in order for you to get guidance on how to aid as a parent your child? He is the Helper. And he will guide you in all truth, especially as it comes to our kids. I asked Grace this morning, I said, "Baby," she knows all about this concept because I've talked about it a lot. I said, "Baby, as mom's parented you, what is one story that sticks out to you as mom, listening to the spirit and then immediately acting. And there's so many. I mean, this is a very regular occurrence. We sat my son down last night and had a conversation with my son. He struggled with his health his whole life, and he has been in a little bit of a struggle. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to sit him down and you need to have a conversation with him. And we did. And a lot of things came out of that conversation that were so incredibly fruitful. But if I had not listened to the Holy Spirit, that conversation would have never happened. So I asked Grace this morning, I said, baby, what one was it? And she brought up this journey that she's been on with college. I know I've talked about it, but let me just remind you, she wanted to go to Baylor for years, her whole high school career. She's got Baylor stuff all over her room. She loves Baylor. And I never had a peace about it. And I knew that the Spirit of God had given me an angst, not a peace in my spirit. And I was waiting on the peace and I was asking for the peace. But every time she brought it up, I would get an angst. And I knew God was saying, this is not her path. She goes, she tries out for the Bachelor's of Fine Arts at Baylor. She doesn't make it. She comes, she's devastated. I already knew it probably wasn't going to go in her favor because the Spirit had already told me. So I was able to listen. I was able to comfort her because the helper had already helped me on how to help her. I was going to teach at Liberty a couple of months ago, and God had given me one mandate with her, just one. He said, Autumn, she needs to go with you. When there was pushback with one of her teachers about missing school, and I said, I don't care. You're going. You are going with me, no matter what it takes. If I have to go in there and I have to talk to that teacher myself, I will do that. She gets on a plane. She goes. She meets the director of all of the theater department in the entire university. Just randomly, he's walking down the hall. She goes and tries out a month ago for the Bachelor's of Fine Arts, which is a competitive program over there at Liberty, and she makes it. The youngest kid to make it that we know of. God told me, don't you say a word. You let me work in her. She came in one night and she said, Mom, I haven't really asked you. I know that you've been quiet about this, but I feel like God is stirring in me. And this is what I feel like he's doing. I think I need to go to Liberty. But what do you think? And because I listened to the Spirit and didn't nag and didn't bring it up and didn't talk about, I was able in that moment to say, I think you're right. Had an amazing conversation. But God needed Grace to know, although he had already told me, Spirit-led parenting. God needed to work in Grace so she could be confident of his voice in her. And sometimes Spirit-led parenting means restraint. She told me this morning, she said, that was the best thing you've ever done for me. Letting me learn God on my own and not being revelation, but your voice being shifting to confirmation. Listen, those of you that have kids, period, I don't care what age they are, this is practically what we do. And then I'll get to the interview with my mom. Number one, listen internally. Listen internally. Listen to the checks rather than watching your kid externally. My kids look great 24/7 all the time. They're good kids. So the checks that God gives me in my spirit about them are based on what he sees in them. He alerts me. Grace is struggling with this today. You need to check in on her. Haven is struggling with this today. You need to check on her. We listen internally rather than watching externally. Now, sometimes when you watch externally, it's obvious there's a problem with a child, but it's not always so obvious. And before it gets obvious, there are ways to stop a problem before it matures to a point where everyone sees there's a problem by listening internally. Listen internally to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If he's saying, check in on that child, don't let that child be that kid's friend. Don't let that child go to that place. Don't let that child whatever, or let that child do this. Let that child do that. Don't restrain them there. As you are listening to the helper help you, he also wants to help them through your leadership. You listen internally rather than watching externally, because a lot of times when you watch externally, it's too late. Second thing, obey. I called Grace a couple of months ago at school because God told me to.
I know. You're not supposed to bother your kids at school. Well, I do.
I called her. I said, you need to call me back. She's like, of course, thinking something's wrong. But it was the Spirit of God that said, I want you to call your daughter. She called me. She got me on the phone. She said, is everything okay? I said, yes. I'm not calling for me. I'm calling to check in on you because God told me to. She proceeded to break into tears to the point where I went and picked her up because she had said something, had something happen at school that really hurt her. I obeyed. And because I did that, I got to see the immediate need of my child, which she might have waited a day or two on her own to tell me. Obey like Joseph. Listen, I am long past the age in parenting where I risk what it looks like. If God tells me to do it, I obey like Joseph. I don't care what anybody says. I really have grown a thick skin to the world when it comes to how we parent our kids. If someone doesn't like it, that's okay. I understand that how they're viewing our obedience to the Lord, they might not like. Maybe it means they miss a practice. Maybe it means, you know, there's a few things in their life that isn't quite in line with what a coach wants or what a teacher wants or what, you know, whoever their authority is wants. But they're still under our leadership. And I'm okay with anyone not liking me because I'm listening to the helper help them. Sometimes Holy Spirit parenting means they're even mad at you. And I'm okay with that too. Holy Spirit parenting and listening to the Lord and following and obeying, you have the risk of someone not being happy with you, but it's worth it. The third thing I would say is this. They learn how to walk by the Spirit every day you listen and obey the Spirit in their lives. Do you understand what that does to our kids' faith when I'm like, God is telling me this about you? You tell me if I'm wrong. I don't even know of a time where they've said, no, Mom, you're wrong. I don't even know of a time because the helper leads us in all truth. And it's because Eddie and I do this that they are able to learn the truth and who is their helper, not just my helper. All of our kids are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, all four of them, even Mo and Havy Baby, even though they're nine. They're all sensitive to the Holy Spirit because they've seen the Holy Spirit at work in their daily lives and our parenting. This is one way that indirectly you can influence them. You don't even realize that you're doing it. Holy Spirit parenting. If you are struggling with your child, or even if you just want to encourage them or you want a fruitful relationship with them and maybe you don't have that right now, ask the Spirit to help you. And as you listen and obey, oh my goodness, He will radically change that relationship, I promise. Okay, without further ado, I want to introduce my very, very special guest. Sit back, you're going to love this. Okay, we just came out of hearing about Spirit-led parenting. I told you all the things. We talked about Joseph. We talked about Mary. We talked about the Holy Spirit and what His role is in our lives, not just directionally with what do we do personally, but that also applies to how we parent our children, okay? And because it is Mother's Day, I don't think my mom has been on the show for a minute. I mean, it's been a minute, but I want to introduce you. If it is your first time ever hearing my mom, I want to just honor her and tell you a few things about her. My mom is like a girl boss, number one, okay? She is the executive director at the largest crisis pregnancy center in the country. So she's got some leadership skills with a Z over there, okay? She is a boss lady. She showed me from a young age what it is like to sacrifice not just as a mom, but you sometimes you have to sacrifice your time to also do what you're called to do. And my mom has been called to do this. Gosh, I don't even remember her not being involved with the Crisis Pregnancy Center at some sort in one way or another. But she also raised three kids. I am the middle child and the perfect child of my mom.
That's right.
I have an older sister. Her name's Heather, and I'm the middle. And then I have a younger brother. His name is David. And I like to say I'm the glue of the siblings. That's what I would like to say. I'm constantly in communication with them. But my mom raised us, and we were very close together. And it's hard when your kids are close together to raise them and to be consistent. And, you know, she did such an amazing job at that. And I just want to say, you know, Mom, I am the mom I am because I saw you parent us so consistently and so grounded in the word and grounded in faith. That was always a priority to you. And my children and generations after you are benefiting from what I know was a sacrificial time in your life. So I love you, Mom. And I want you guys to give a great big Autumn Miles AmFam welcome to Sharon Carey, my mom. Hey, Mom.
Hey, sweetie. I'll still call you that because you still are.
In my phone, her name is Mother Earth. And like, obviously, you know, I know that God created the planet. Like, don't email me. But it just says something about my mom is like everyone's mom. I feel like she's like, she kind of mothers everyone. Everyone turns to her for advice. So here she is. She's about to give you all advice as well. So I was thinking about having you on the show, and there's so many different places that we could go with having you on the show. But I would like to just say there are two amazing things that you did really, really incredible as a mom. One of them was you love my dad. They've been married forever, and I'll let her talk here and talk about that. And I want to save the other one until we talk about this marriage thing for a while. But can you just, as a mom, talk about you have the benefit of like hindsight and how that has affected us as kids. Mm-hmm. Can you go into you and dad's relationship and how you kept it the way that you kept it in order to be successful and show your kids a healthy marriage?
Yeah, that was important, you know, to me as a mother. It was three things that were important to me that I knew would impact you and your brother and sister. One is putting God first in my life above everything. I don't say I was perfect, but that was my goal. The second was to put your dad second in my life. Not ministry, not the church, not even the counseling. Your dad and I, we have masters in counseling, but it was God, your dad, and then you all. And that was our goal to set before you to have a good, healthy marriage. And it took work. I mean, it took work, busy. You know, he's a pastor. I'm the executive director, also a counselor, you know, pastor's wife. And three children, 17 months apart. It was work, but it was worth it. I can say this, that it's marriage. A good marriage is a lot of work, but it is so worth it to make that commitment to one another. And that's what your dad did. Your dad and I did early on. We made a commitment to each other. We made a commitment to put God in the very center of our marriage. And we made a commitment to make it priority. And we did that through several things. Good communication, talking things through, date night, particularly when you guys were small. You remember us going off on dates. You know, I can't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday. One night was...
It was Friday night. I remember.
And the other night was for kids' night, but we made it a priority to get away. And then when you guys were small, your dad would take me on a weekend because there's something different about getting for a mom to get out of the house. You know, even if you stay in the house alone, you've got, oh, the floor's dirty, clothes need to be washed, your mind goes in a million directions. But when your dad would take me out on the weekend, I couldn't do laundry. I couldn't, you know, scrub the floor. I couldn't do this and that. And it was amazing. So we focused, we made it a decision to make that important in our life. And that refreshed me as a mom to come back to parent you guys when we would do those trips away. So I think those are the secrets to having a good marriage all these years.
So marriage is so, mom, as we've talked about, it's just completely under attack in the world that we live in. And if you remember back to those early years, I know a lot of my listeners have, you know, a lot of them have school age kids. Some of them are, their kids are out of the house, but how, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of, I know I was involved in a lot and David was involved in a lot and, you know, Heather did some stuff too. How do you kind of center yourself and prioritize a marriage when you've got three kids that are running in three different directions? Can you just, I kind of get the sense as you're talking, this is great to hear and needs to be abided by, but what about that woman who's thinking, how do I prioritize that? My kids are taking all of my time. Can you speak to her for a second?
I think it starts with first a mental decision to choose to put your husband first. If you don't do that, everything else is going to swallow up that time because the tyranny of the urgent, the needs of the children are definitely for the mom, I think even more than the dad, are going to swallow you up because we like to solve problems and we want to do it quickly. So I think it's more of a mental choice in your mind to make sure that your husband comes first, even before the children. And if you make that effort to make that decision in your mind and you stick with it, then things will flow out of that and put things in priority. What is priority here? You know, and it helps you to set the priorities. I guess that's the one single thought that I could give to you that will help, because I think a lot of moms don't make their husbands a priority, even though they say, well, I'm going to, you know, eventually, but I can't right now. You have to do that early on. And then everything else will fall into line without getting into the details if you make that a priority.
So basically, someone's going to have, you're going to have to be the bad guy sometimes.
Right.
Your kid is going to have to look at you and say, mom, you missed this. And you're going to have to say to them, I'm sorry, I'm committed to this with your dad. And, you know, we're working on this. I think right now what you just said, a priority, is it's such a good conversation starter because right now, and mom, you know this with my kids, it's like their coaches dictate their schedules, right, which dictates your life.
Right.
Their teachers and whatever, that dictates your life. So it's really hard to take a stand and say, no, you're not going to that practice because I can't take you because I'm going out on a date with your dad.
Right.
Can you speak to that about other things trying to really hijack your life?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, peer pressure doesn't stop when you're in middle school or high school. It continues throughout your life. And I believe the same thing with moms, particularly when you're interacting with other moms with small kids. The peer pressure from other moms is to just be 100% in everything. And that's just what you do. So, yes, we had to say no to things. You know, if you make your kids your priority, that's important, but you have to make your husband the priority. So when we would do a weekend thing, that means that that was our priority for that weekend. We were going to be gone no matter what. And of course, I mean, we would readjust things if something very important came up, but for the most part, we would stick with that. And yes, we had to say no to some things, you know, along the way, but we tried to attend just about everything that we could that all of you were involved in without it robbing that time from us to develop our relationship.
And because of that, how long have you been married?
Well, in June, it will be 46 years.
That's so long.
I know.
The reason I wanted my mom to share about this is because Eddie and I are generational benefactors of this. We chose, like, before we even got married, we talked about, I told him my parents went away and they're still married because I know that going away is not cheap. It is a sacrifice to do that. It is a sacrifice for a mom to say, I'm going to step away from my little kids for a minute. But, you know, Eddie and I are celebrating 20 years in a week. And a lot of that is because of the priorities that you and dad put on your relationship at a young age. I think that was one of the most amazing things, that the gifts that you gave me, David and Heather.
I want to say one real quick thing about you can't afford. There was a time when we couldn't even hardly afford going out for dinner. So we compromised. We would go out for lunch. We may have just a Coke, but we would sit together for an hour or so and just be together and get out of the house. So you can always do something creative if you don't have the money for a trip, but I highly encourage you to save up for that. You can always do something.
I want to transition because one of the other things that I know that my love for the word was seated in me, this is going to make me cry. Super early. I don't even remember. I know you prayed for us before we were born and all of those things, but the value of a mom who seeded the word in me before I even knew what the word was. It revolutionized my entire life, that foundation. And this is one of the things, you guys, that my mom did really, really extremely. I mean, I don't know of any other person that has done it better than she has. And I know maybe you know some personally, but personally, in my life, I've met a lot of celebrity Christians. I've met a lot of people, and they're all amazing. But the seeds of the word were deposited in me before I even knew what the Bible was. And I need her to speak wisdom into you about that. Mom, I've got a heart like for that woman today who is saying, I don't know the word. Mm. I don't know the word like you do, Autumn. I don't have my degree. I'm not a pastor's wife. How do they, even if they have adult kids, begin even now to seed the word in their children? Because I just think you're the expert on it.
Wow. First of all, it has to be a priority for you. The word of God, getting into the word, having time with the Lord. You have to choose as a mom to make that a priority as well. That above even your relationship with your husband, that has to be number one, or it will be swallowed up by everything else. And that's something that I did. Mom say, I don't have the time. I know when you guys were very little, 17 months apart, I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't do that now. I get up about 6, but for me, it was in the morning, and maybe for you, it's at night, but I was just too tired at night. If I did not make that a priority, things weren't going to go well. So from just that time with God, getting into the word myself, and I don't have a degree in theology either, but it was myself searching the word, not just reading it to get a check mark, but for God to change my heart and to make him a priority in my life first. And then from there, that would filter out into my sharing that with you guys as children, whether it was a rebuke or whether it was about the glory of God. You might bring up the one on Revelation.
Oh my gosh. The rebukes, the glory of God. And I've got stories for days.
Every time we meet, the Revelation story comes up for sure. But
no, let me just talk about it. Let me just take 20 seconds. There was a massive storm in Indiana. And it was like thunder, lightning, like it was almost, it was apocalyptic, all right? the lights go out in our house. My mom lights a candle. Me, Heather, and David are like 6, 7, and 8. Okay. We're little. And she comes in and she talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse with the candle. And I mean, you know, it was definitely, it was scripture being seeded in us at a very young age, and we'll never forget it. I mean, my mom took every opportunity.
That's right.
Every opportunity.
Yes, I did. I took Deuteronomy seriously. It says, when they teach them the law, when they rise up in the morning, when they go to bed, when you're walking along the way, you teach them the word. And so I seized that opportunity because you guys were like, wow, look at, this is awesome. You know, you were like, wow. And I said, well, let me show you from Revelation. Let me talk about this awesome God who's sitting on the throne and the 24 elders are around him and they're going, holy, holy, holy. And your dad walks in from church and we're all sitting around the Bible with the candle and your eyes are wide open. And your dad goes, what is going on? So yes. Yeah.
But I will have to say one of the best verses I think that I remember from a very young age, I think fear is one way that the enemy, that Satan just keeps us from God.
Right.
And my mom would recite the verse all the time. And I recite it to my kids all the time. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And it was a staple in our home. This was not something that we pulled out. It was, you know, we used it for anxiety. We used it for worry. We used it when we were actually afraid. You know, my mom was really good at pulling out those short, concise, memorizable, if that's even a word, verses that became 2x4s that built the life that I'm living now.
Yeah, that was one of the big ones because children always are afraid and they would memorize that. And I say, what's the verse? What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. So yeah, it was powerful. Yeah.
I think another thing that we've duplicated that I have specifically duplicated is every moment is a biblical opportunity.
Right.
And I learned that from my mom, you know, it was, I don't think Heather will mind us telling this story, but my older sister, Heather, and I tried out for cheerleader. And I won't even tell you who made it, but one of us made it and one of us did not. And I remember coming home, one of us was devastated and one of us was excited. And I remember you taking one of us into a room and having a conversation and then really using that as a biblical teaching moment. Every opportunity that we had, whether it was exciting or, there was achievement, you know, we've got to give God glory. There was always a focus on the ever present God.
Right. How is God in your life in these disappointing moments and in these moments that we rejoice over? And how do we see God in it? How does it relate to you and to encourage you? Yeah, that was difficult for mom for that one. I was so excited for you and I was heartbroken for Heather. And yeah, it was a very teachable moment because there's no hope, no direction apart from God. And I, from the bottom of my heart, I wasn't the best parent of all, but that was my goal, was for you guys to learn to love God, to know his word, to know him, and to seek to please him with your life. That was always my goal for the things that I did.
And you did an amazing job at it. I do want to pivot a little, but all three of us had times where we stepped away.
Right.
And this audience knows mine really well. But being raised in a Christian home and having the word seated in you and having parents that love each other and all that kind of stuff, the enemy can still get in. Heather had a little, she kind of sold her wild oats. And so did David, my younger brother. And we would be considered prodigal children at one point or another, I would say. We do have some moms that are praying for their children to return. And I know that you have experience in this. So If you would, could you just speak to that mom right now that's saying, I love my kids. I did raise them in scripture. I did see raise them in church, you know, but they're just not interested right now. What would you say to that mom?
I understand. It's heartbreaking. I know that you're sharing many, many tears over them. I know that everything in you wants to bring them home. I know that you're doubting your parenting skills. What did I do wrong? What could have I changed? Did I handle this right? I know how you feel. But what I can say is you keep seeking God in the midst of this. Again, God has to be first in your life. Love them with all of your heart. One of the things we also sought to do was to be high in discipline and high in love. Don't capitulate the standards that God has given you, but at the same time, love them much and pray for them. And one of those, you know, was Heather, who left our home. And I think she would be okay for me to share this because she shared this with others. She shared it in church.
I'll call her when we're done recording and let her know what we talked about.
But to her credit, she came back to the Lord, but it took a few years and it was over a guy. Yeah. A lot of times it's over a relationship. And long story short, she moved out of our home because she did not want to follow the rules of the home at that time. And, you know, we said, well, we love you, but we also have to answer to God. And, you know, we feel strongly about this. So we love you and, you know, we're going to let you go. But our door is always open. And so she did leave for a couple of years. And my focus was not on instruction or anything like that. My focus was on prayer. And my focus was on finding those opportunities to meet with her, to have lunch with her, to be with her, just to pray for her, because she wasn't in a place. She knew what the Bible had to say. She knew all of this. You know, she'd learned all this from us. She knew how we felt. And she had to finally come to that decision on her own. But what I did during those years was I prayed fervently for her. We would, again, have lunch with her. We would love on her. How are you doing? What can we do? We just poured out our love on her and kept praying for her. And the day that she came back, I'll never forget. I won't go through the circumstances that she was in, but she was broken. She was at work at Cracker Barrel with a car that we are surprised that she even made it to work. And she called us sick, just broken. And she said, Dad, will you come and get me? I want to go home. And we said, sure, we'll come get you. So he went and got her, brought her home. We loved her. We said, sugar, our rules have not changed, but you can stay here as long as you want. And we basically nurtured her back to health again. And then that's when she made a commitment to God. So it took several years. And we just prayed for her and she is restored and she's a wonderful, all three of you are just amazing, amazing adults, moms, wives, and we couldn't be more proud, but it was very difficult at that time to sit back and to watch her and to pray for her.
Yeah, she's awesome. Heather is my best friend, you know, and growing up, we were not best friends. She didn't like me. I loved her, but she didn't like me. She'll tell you that too. I know we're out of time, but I want to take another minute or two and transition to grandma. We have a lot of grandmas that listen, and you know, grandmas are younger and hotter than ever these days.
That's right.
You have 7 grandchildren and you're instilling in a different way these same principles that you did in us in your grandchildren. And you know, sometimes grandparents, because they don't have they're not the ones that make the rules and things like that, influence is very important, but they're not like the first line of influence. The parents are. So how do you grandparent well? And you're an incredible grandma, and dad's an incredible papa, like we call him. But why don't you give that godly grandma out there some tips on what you do, because you do it really well.
Well, early on, you had to make a distinction between being mom and grandma. They're not your kids. You're not raising them. And you watch your own kids flourish in raising your kids, and you pray for them. But seeking that role to have an influence as grandma, you know, again, instilling, I'm always looking for those times to instill in them. You know, Autumn does a great job. She's an amazing mom of instilling in them a love for God, the word of God, encouraging them. It's amazing to watch. But for me to kind of supplement that by doing the same thing, it's, I want that for my grandchildren. When I get a chance, I'll share scripture with them. I'll pray. Now that they're getting older, your older ones, I'll call them on the phone. I'll pray with them. I just talked with Jude yesterday and just said, I know that you're suffering, but I just want to tell you, grandma understands suffering, you know, physically. I've done it for years and you're young. And here's my verse for you. First Peter 5:10, this will end. This trial will end. And that's an encouragement to be, because after you've suffered for a little while, God himself will strengthen and encourage you. So just taking those moments to invest in them, but more than that, to have a lot of fun. I love my grandkids. I love to be with them. I love to have fun with them. I love to have play games with them. And at the same time, invest in them spiritually through prayer, through sharing scripture with them, through calling them, through encouraging them. And I think that's how I make the influence as a grandmother in their lives.
I feel really supported too as a mom. And I think that that is also the role, I think, of a grandparent. That's at least what I'm going to do. We had a little issue with my son, and he's okay. Everything's okay. But, you know, I'm a parent, real life over here. Yeah. And so I was able to call my mom yesterday morning and just kind of say all the things that I can't say to him as a worried parent to her. And she was able to reassure me and things like that. So that's also a large role is, you know, yes, you're parenting your kid, but it's also part of a grandparent to remind your kid, listen, you're doing the right thing. You've done everything you can. You're standing there with him. So you do that really, really well in that role of influence that you have. We could probably talk all day, Mom. This was amazing. I feel like there was a lot of just nuggets of wisdom. And thank you for being such an incredible mom. I love you. I don't know what Eddie and I would do without you and Dad. We absolutely treasure our relationship with you. And I know that everyone who hears this is going to be encouraged, because that was just lots of life-giving words that you just spoke. So thanks for coming on, Mom.
I love you very much. And I'm very, very proud of you, Autumn. And I loved being on your show. I loved it. It was fun.
All right. Okay. I am actually, we typically cut to a prayer request and we cut to what's God doing in your life. But today I'm not going to do it. I think we're going to save these beautiful little questions and prayer requests and testimonies for next week. I just want to kind of end it there. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. Once again, have an amazing day. Go buy yourself something for Mother's Day. Let your kids spoil you for Mother's Day. Let your husband spoil you. Enjoy it. Take as much time to yourself as you can. Do a little mother self-care over there and be encouraged, because your influence has a generational effect. And we love you so much. And I will catch you next week for a new series I'm starting called Favor Follows Faithfulness. We're going to start that next week. It'll be a short series, but it's going to be good. I'll see you next week. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Let's go.
Thanks for tuning in to the Autumn Miles Show. Be sure to follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to stay connected and in the loop with what's happening with the ministry. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. AutumnMiles.com is also the place where you can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. She is devoted to spiritually challenging people and the way that they think. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. Reach out today and book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. Just go to AutumnMiles.com. Once you're there, search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab, then scroll down for more information. Thanks again for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show.